Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial on Monday. Got a good one in mind to start off the week. I want to ask all of you guys a question first, though. I spent a fair amount of time on Saturday, actually quite a lot of time on Saturday, addressing comments, which I thought were very, very good. By the way, the quality of the comments are going up substantially, and I want to thank you guys very much for that. Could not get on the site last night. I went on about 7 o'clock last night in attempt to address more comments, and it was blocked to me for some reason, and I'm not sure why. I wonder, CFS, for example, did you have any problems getting on the site last night? I guess I'll be able to find out when I start addressing comments this morning, which I will do. A very interesting article in the Seattle Times that came out Saturday. Obviously, it was about the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, and Jack Smith, the former head of the Justice Department's Public Integrity Section, who Garland has appointed to be the special counsel to oversee what they think are criminal actions on the part of Donald Trump. I'm really not sure if that's the case, but I want to say one thing, and what I want to say is that I want to get Jim's opinion as to whether or not Jack Smith and his role is going to be successful. Basically, two things. Number one, January 6th, obviously, and number two, the documents that Trump took down to Mar-a-Lago. Jimmy, what's your opinion and why?
So I think Merrick Garland was forced to put an independent counsel. And this is the problem is it's not that independent because, in fact, Jack Smith will still have to report to Merrick Garland. He's still going to have to go after money to do this. But I think he had to do it because they're so afraid of Donald Trump running, but also the fact that the president had announced his candidacy. He had to do some sort of at least kind of a public image of separation from the case. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to help at all because this is clearly a political case.
Sure.
It was political. The January 6th issue was investigated by the Senate. It was investigated by the House.
Yeah.
They attempt to impeach Trump, if we remember, back in January 2021. That didn't work. There was not enough evidence there. So the fact that they're doing this means he's just trying to drag it out for political points as long as possible, in my view.
Yeah. Well, actually, Garland came out and said that the reason that he's doing it at this point is because Trump did announce his candidacy very early. And
right. So, he was somewhat forced to do it. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Because of the announcement. Yes.
Very interesting race, I think, is going to be coming up once Trump starts to get really active, once he announces who he would like to see as his vice presidential appointee. My guess is he's probably going to try very hard to get Ron DeSantis. Whether or not that's going to be successful, I have no idea. What do you think about that, Jim?
So I think this, by Trump coming out early, there's some disadvantages and some advantages. We've seen a number of people posturing on the Republican side to compete against him. Mike Pence is one. He's reached out there. He's getting no support, no traction.
No traction whatsoever that I can see.
Mike Pompeo made some comments. There's a lot of media that are pushing, these types of comments. He really hasn't got the numbers to support it. Nikki Haley, same thing. The only one that actually has numbers that make it potentially competitive would be Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
And Ron DeSantis, if you look overall at the general polling across the nation, not by party, but by general population, Ron DeSantis would be favored over Donald Trump. That includes Democratic candidates.
Yeah.
However, in the Republican primary process, you're going to have a very committed and very organized, let's just call them the MAGA base, that are going to continue to push to support Trump. So Ted Cruz made his statement that he's running again for Senate in 2024, which would indicate he's not going to run for president.
Yeah.
He would be a potential candidate as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to really see how this race is going to sort out on the right. And I think if DeSantis steps into it, they may go at it in a public event, but whoever comes out at the end, you know, Trump would definitely not be DeSantis' vice presidential candidate. But DeSantis very much could be. And remember, George Bush and Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan competed against each other in the primary. And then George H.W. Bush was the vice presidential candidate.
Yeah.
And ended up becoming president 8 years later.
Yeah.
So there is a huge internal fight right now inside Republican parties around the country in the local ones. And those are it's really against the never Trumpers, the rhinos, if you will, and the MAGA people. I think if Republicans attempt to alienate and continue to attack Trump supporters, those supporters will not, and that's a big percentage of the Republican vote in these last elections.
How big would you guess it is, Jimmy?
I would say 30-40% at least.
Wow, that's a formidable number.
Bottom line is, without those people on your side, and if they just say, I'm done, I'm tired of the corruption, I'm tired of the politics, and they just don't vote because they just feel like they're wasting their time, Republicans cannot win.
No.
And if the senior leadership, and I've listened to Paul Ryan this weekend, I've listened to, you know, McCarthy and McConnell, I've listened to many of the McDaniel, a lot of Republican leaders that are coming out and saying, hey, look, you can't, you know, Trump is going to cause us to fail. Paul Ryan was very bold about it. He said, never again, Trump, on a CBS interview. I think it was CBS. Could have been ABC.
Yeah.
But bottom line is that animosity is the same animosity that Hillary Clinton had towards Trump voters in 2016.
Yeah. We know where that got her.
Yeah, it will not do well for conservative views to have this continued fight. They're going to have to understand that Americans are fed up with globalization, that American workers want to have a voice and a say, and they're tired of mega PACs buying the elections and mostly funded for big corporations that want to expand globalization.
Well, at least 30-40% of the Republicans feel that way by your own admission, Jimmy.
Well, I would say it's probably even a tremendous number of Democrats feel that way.
They
glom on to their unions, right? The unions are pretending they're, in my view, the union leadership are pretending they're trying to protect jobs in the U.S.
Yeah.
What they're doing is selling out to progressive ideology to motivate voters. And those voters come out and vote Democrat. But in the end, the Democratic leadership are selling out Americans on energy policy, on manufacturing, on, you know, tax issues. But the workforce, the actual conservative blue collar workers, or I should say, you know, moderates or independent blue collar workers, they're fed up too. And they're a little bit tired of their unions screwing them over. And, you know, they're the ones that came out and voted for Trump in 2016.
Yeah.
They're the ones that voted for Reagan in 1980 and 1984.
Yeah.
And that's where the Republican leadership doesn't get it. They're being a little bit too elitist, and they're trying to alienate this guy right away in order to force him out. And of course, a lot of the media is hyping the right, the elitists that are saying these things, because they want to intimidate Trump out of office.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work. I don't think Merrick Garland with this investigation is going to stop anything. And I think it's actually a liability, especially as we go into investigations with the House being controlled by Republicans.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I want to talk about that in a minute, but I want to ask you a question first. What is Jack Smith going to try and prove? What kind of documents was Trump holding that he should have been holding? What do you think that's going to be, the assertion of this guy, Jack Smith, the special counsel?
Well, apparently there were just a little over 100 classified documents, marked classified documents in there. And of course, according to the Washington Post, possibly the New York Times, just this last week, they came out and said, you know, FBI said, yeah, actually none of this was nuclear related. None of the documents were things that were, you know, the same risks that were hyped when the FBI leaked information early on in this investigation. So the probability is, he's going to be looking to see was there authorities under the Presidential Records Act to hold these documents, and did he declassify them? Was there enough information to say declassified them?
Yeah.
And in the end, I think it's going to be a lot about nothing, because they were negotiating with the archives. They were negotiating with the Justice Department. And again, this was clearly a political attack.
Yeah.
The January 6th thing was clearly a political attack. And now when the shoe's on the other foot and Republicans are actually looking at the same issues, you know, they put different people on the committee for the January 6th oversight. They're going to start asking, well, how come you didn't approve, Nancy Pelosi didn't approve National Guard? How come the Capitol Police weren't prepared? How come, you know, there were FBI agents infiltrating into this that said there was no insurgency or there was no clear planning?
Yeah.
So they're going to try, and ultimately I think it's going to fade. The problem is they're going to keep it in the media's attention, which creates frustration, and actually it intimidates and it actually lies to people, and people believe those lies for a long period of time. And I you know, that's where the Republicans have failed miserably. They can't they cannot effectively fight back against a propaganda media that supports the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this about the Democrats right now, and that is Hakeem Jeffries, who is really trying to basically be, you know, be the leader of the Democratic Party, is really much more of a progressive than a lot of people think. Do you think he's going to be successful in giving himself a leadership position within the party? And if so, what's that going to do to the future of the party, Jim?
Hakeem Jeffries will have nowhere near the power that Nancy Pelosi had amassed over the 20 years she was the leader of the Democrats in the House. It's going to be a challenge, I believe, for him to rally the moderate Democrats that somehow survived this election on close races, these midterms, when everybody was frustrated. He is definitely very progressive. I just don't think that they are setting themselves up, and I don't think they have been for a long time, for success without manipulation.
Okay.
You know, you look at what happened in Maricopa County in the Arizona election. You look at over 70 vote polling positions unable to actually count votes because their tabulators were bad. Uh-huh. Someone did that day. And most of the conservative Republican voters that were coming in that day to vote. And so they were pushed out. That was definitely voter suppression. And then, of course, there's some questionable. There's video of people dumping large numbers of ballots into mail-in ballot boxes from Maricopa County.
Yeah.
So without that type of mail-in manipulation, without that type of vote harvesting, with actually honest elections, I think the Democrats are having a very hard time capturing America. And it showed in places like Florida. It showed in Texas. It showed in Ohio. A lot of places that had different voting rules showed a very sharp swing to the right. The key states that had mail-in ballot and had funky, crazy, different, you know, type of rules that have, you know, stuck around since COVID and the 2020 election, they're the ones where we have these problems, and they still haven't finished counting votes in some of those places yet.
Yeah. No, I understand that. Jim, let me ask you one other question. This thing with the FX exchange is really getting to the contagion that has come out of that. You were telling me this morning you did quite a bit of study about that this weekend, and the contagion is just huge. Is that correct?
Yeah, so Grayscale, one of the largest crypto exchanges, actually, you know, they're concerned about security issues. They're trading right now at a 45% discount to Bitcoin.
Wow.
That's pretty significant. That's this morning CNBC reporting. There's a lot of reporting right now on groups like Genesis. Yeah. They're seeking $1 billion emergency loan to cover the FTX fallout. So the contagion here is basically there was, you know, the collapse of that exchange, the FTX exchange, is creating a gap between assets versus liabilities for a lot of these other exchanges.
Yeah.
And it's hard to judge because they're keeping information away from actual investors on whether or not they have enough reserves or capital to cover those dollars. And what we find with FTX is it was total corruption. So this could spread, and I've said it for now a week, this could spread very significantly to broader financial markets because there was so many institutional investors going into these exchanges and trying to park money into crypto because of the potential, you know, returns that had looked so good for so long.
Yeah,
Genesis, Grayscale, Galaxy, Gemini, all having really hard times today. Coinbase is having a really hard time.
What about Bitcoin?
So the Bitcoin itself is separate than the exchanges. Exchanges apparently, they're holding and they're basically like the bank for Bitcoin. Right now, Bitcoin is dropped over 3% in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
And if you look back for the last year for Bitcoin, the numbers go from whatever, 60 some thousand dollars to down to $16,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big decline. And again, you've got to think about whether or not the amount of fraud with FTX that is clear and how much other fraud with this unsecured electronic digital asset that people have bought into on hype.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's crazy. So the all-time high, Bitcoin's down 65%.
Yeah.
At a 24-hour change, it's down $510.
Yeah.
Again, for those people that think it's the future, you got to wonder how much corruption is behind it and underneath it. And that's why you're seeing a lot of investors. I mean, their problem is if it collapses, it affects so many other areas of the finance of international finance that it may create similar to 2008 or even possibly a 1929 October event where there was fraudulent investments on companies that didn't exist, only on paper.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's scared to death what could happen. And there's a lot of people out there hyping that, oh, no, it's secure. Bitcoin's, you know, crypto's here to stay. It's going to be regulated after this. And certainly it's going to be state controlled if in fact there's anybody that thinks that this is somehow going to survive.
You know, Jimmy, I think the most important thing that people have to realize about cryptocurrencies is, again, just like the U.S. dollar, they are not backed by any specific asset. You know, Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard, so our dollar is not backed by anything. I had an opportunity to get involved in cryptocurrency quite some time ago, and number one, I didn't understand it. The only thing I understood, it was not backed by any asset, and so I passed on that opportunity.
Yeah, and the fact is that many people don't understand it. Many financial institutions that have invested investment institutions that retirement accounts, they didn't fully understand it.
Yeah.
But there was a big push to sell it as a, you know, kind of a alternative currency to state-backed currencies. And I think, you know, when you have like this, the really interesting one will be Tether. Tether is a dollar-backed, apparently dollar-backed electronic currency, and they're having some serious problems. And it turns out that the government's involved, potentially using those assets to support different events around the world.
Yeah.
That would mean like intelligence agencies, the CIA, and so forth. There's a potential for that. So there's some questions out there. There's a great article came out from, I think it was Revolver News this weekend, that really goes into the concerns with Tether and the potential for the entire crypto market and all these exchanges to have very serious problems. I would be paying attention very closely if I had any money at all in these types of investments.
Yeah, I don't happen to have any money whatsoever in this type of investment. Okay, there you have it, you guys. We've talked about the crypto contagion. We've talked about Hakeem Jeffries, and we have talked a little bit about what's going on with Merrick Garland and Mr. Smith. Are they going to be successful? I think the jury is still out on that. Anything else you want to talk about, Jim? We've been going 20 minutes.
It's an interesting weekend, but...
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but I don't know. We'll see what happens today and tomorrow, what's going on out there, because, you know, there's a lot of politics that are being fought behind the scenes and trying to sort out what happened here in November. I'll be very curious to see what happens in Arizona. The Attorney General has written a letter to the Maricopa County elections officials and said, hey, look, we need to investigate. There's some really funky information that happened here. And that could change the outcome if, in fact, they do a thorough investigation. And that would be opening the dam, or at least breaking the dam, yeah, on election voter fraud that people would have to accept. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I would love to see that happen, Jimmy. Jimmy, thank you so much. I'll get this thing up as quickly as I can.
You have a wonderful day, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.